Welcome to The Third Way, a podcast to help us follow Jesus in our cultural moment from Fellowship Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Here's today's episode with Rob and Lloyd.
Welcome back to The Third Way podcast. Lloyd, I was thinking about our very first episode we did in season one, or maybe it was the second episode, but we talked about this kind of 500-year cycle of how societies, civilizations just kind of go through these 500-year changes, and it seems to us that we're in one right now. And as I've thought about that more and more and more, I thought, it makes sense why things feel so chaotic and even painful and confusing right now, because we're in one of these seasons.
Oh boy, that's bringing back memories as you and I did some research around that. And it's inarguable that those shifts do occur. And what we do know is when any shift occurs, it's tumultuous. And when we think about navigating in those waters, it's why we're in the third way. It's why we talk about walk in the light, love without fear, hold fast to the truth. For he who calls you is faithful. That, and it's really more, as we talked about, Rob, what I liked is a posture, even more than a proclamation. And that it's both, okay? Now, with that, it's got me thinking about us in Romans 8. You and I have both touched on this passage in Romans 8 that speaks of creation groaning, of a redeemed humanity that groans and the spirit that groans. And so I think about creation groaning. And that is, in a sense, like a posture that we carry, this posture of groaning. And even as I was studying the passage, I got kind of tickled at myself, because I would think, is it, you know, when you think, man, Christianity, you know, what do Christians look like? You know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer and dour, but is groaning even a part of our vocabulary? Does groaning mark us, again, not as dour and always down, but as that passage reminded us, of a yearning, of a longing? Yeah, so when we think about where we are now, there's a lot of groaning going on. Some of it good, some of it maybe not so good.
I think people resonate with that verse. And in fact, let's take a look at it right now, Lloyd, because it was in a passage that you got to teach when we divided it up. Yep. And it's always been one of my favorite parts of Romans 8. So I cheated.
I snuck it in. Oh boy.
To another sermon that I did, and I found a way to get to it. Paul's been talking about what the Spirit is up to and what a difference the Spirit makes in our lives. And then what I love about what he does here, right here in the middle of Romans 8, is he zooms out to this 30,000-foot view. He really goes, like what you talked about a couple episodes ago, Lloyd, the big story, creation, fall, redemption, recreation. And he's just saying there is something broken, not just in you and me and the culture and society around us, but the creation itself, the material world that we're living in, that is aching, that is groaning. And so that's always fascinated me. So let's just unpack it a little bit more and then apply it to what it means to live as the third way, followers of Jesus in a creation that groans.
So just to refresh everybody, Paul's words, he says, I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So present time, there's a suffering, future glory. For, because the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And it goes from creation, Rob, here now, to us, to redeemed humanity. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about us as Christians who have the Spirit in us, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies.
So much there.
So let's start here. By the way, someone said this to me, you know, I'd studied this, but someone came up to it and said it after I had taught the passage, that when we talk about wait eagerly, eager longing, you know, the root of that is apocalypse. It's mm-hmm. the same word for apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of laugh because when we think of the word apocalypse, what's the first thing that comes to someone's mind?
Destruction, devastation.
It's coming down, yeah. right? And yet here, it's a longing not for destruction and devastation, but for glory.
Yeah.
It changes the narrative on, quote, the end times in some ways. I know yes. there's tough stuff to come, but our future's glory.
Well, the metaphor Paul uses of childbirth is what really unlocked this for me when I was thinking about it. And you and I both taught on this in two different messages. But if you think about childbirth is incredibly painful. So we've heard, right?
Yes. So, yeah. I made it very clear when I said this. I said, look, I'm out of my league.
Yeah,
right
I heard
here.
You. I remember you saying that. And I said something a little bit similar to you. I just said, I've heard it's painful, but I trust I believe it. I believe it.
Oh, boy.
But it can be the most hopeful type of pain.
Mm.
And you think about, you know, you and I do quite a few hospital visits. There's a huge difference between going in to visit someone who's having a baby and going in to visit someone who's having a surgery.
Yes.
Or is in an illness. Now, you know, we know that in the broken creation, there are still pregnancies that go wrong and there are all kinds of things. So there's groaning even there. But when a pregnancy comes to full term and the baby is born and the baby is healthy, there is a joy and life that is brought into this world through a pain of childbirth. And that's the metaphor that the Spirit is using as Paul, he's writing the, you know, with alongside Paul through Paul to help us understand what the whole passage starts with, but you didn't, you know, read this part, but verse 18, where the paragraph starts, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. It's because it's like childbirth that's coming. So that just really gave me a lot of hope as I studied that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then he moves, when he starts talking about that we're groaning. So not just the trees and the rocks and the birds and the sky and all of creation, but we. And he says, we who are the first fruit have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we who have the Spirit within us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gets even deeper as you move into the like next part of Romans. But who thinks about being indwelt by the Spirit and the first indicator, not the first indicator, let's say, but one of the fruits of that being groaning. And why do we groan? Something's wrong. Something's not right. There's that within us that is longing and recognizing. We look around the world, quite frankly, look at creation itself, but look at how people are living. Let's get to our own cultural moment if we can.
Yeah.
How people are treating each other.
Mm.
Talking about others, pointing the finger. Yes, there are things wrong, but we are living in a time, it, for you and I, we could say, probably has not been this divisive, overtly mean, crassness in words, what people say about others, who they disagree with. So we're in this season, as we started a moment ago, to say, man, things are shifting, something's happening. And I don't know that it's groaning, as Paul's describing here, as much as oftentimes it's, yes, something's wrong, and I'm mad about it, and I'm mad at you, and you're now my enemy because we're different on this. But the mark of, honestly, third way living, you and I, we've talked about this over and over again. If it begins with walk in the light, where does the light first shine?
In our own
hearts. Heart.
It has to.
Yes.
I think when you're talking about that, what's coming to my mind is the opportunity for followers of Jesus to look different in this cultural moment, to speak differently in this cultural moment, to act differently in this cultural moment. We have to. It's got to be what sets us apart. So you can move from walk in the light, because that light has to shine on us first, to love without fear. And oh my goodness, you know, we've talked about this enough times at this point in time. Loving someone does not mean saying everything they want to hear. That's Mm-mm. not actual love. Mm-mm. But there is something about the heart behind what we're trying to say, the posture of what we're trying to say, the approach that we take, the tone that we take, that reflects genuine care for the person we're trying to influence or the person we're trying to engage, rather than an external hostility. And to your point, when you're living in a culture that's marked by external hostility and divisiveness, mm-hmm. Christians should really be standing out now in the way we engage with each other. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing much of that in us. And I'm not trying to judge. I'm in it too. But mm-hmm. we as a church, we must repent mm-hmm. of our way that we are participating in this.
Yeah. And I'm glad that even on these Third Way podcasts, we're pretty clear we're talking to our community of faith primarily. So anyone that's listening to me now, in a sense, I'm just picturing them looking at me on a Sunday, on a Monday, on a Tuesday. This is our community of faith. I want to bring us back as well to that last part of Third Way, and that is holding fast to the truth. As you said, it's not just, you know, letting things go by. No, we hold fast to the truth, but how do we hold fast to the truth? You've got to keep these three things in tension. And I was just kind of arrested, I think, Rob, as we move through this passage on the repetition of groaning. And that the groaning for us as Christ followers, Paul says it's an inward groan. And so I do think that points to a sense of inward confession, a sense of looking in the mirror before I say something to someone else. And it's a reminder too, Rob, that, there's this sense people will say to me, or I'll read things, and yes, there's something happening even within evangelical Christianity, renewed interest in church from some segments of the population, all of that that's happening. But at the heart of any movement of God historically, the Spirit has not produced, in a sense, the other out there, you know, I'm going to change them or I'm going to change the world. It's like that's the byproduct of what the Spirit historically, biblically, has always seemed to do. And that is the first work of inward confession that leads to repentance, that, as we'll see in a little bit, leads to Spirit prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's the part, you know, on the globe, on the national scene. To me and things I see or hear, whatever, I don't see as much. And I'm praying in part that would be marking us as a community of faith.
Yes. That sense inside of us that God is working in me.
Yes.
And it's almost like you've heard it said something like this before, is he's not going to work through us, or he can't work through us until and unless he's working in us.
Yeah.
We need to be transformed to such a place that we are beginning to look more like Jesus, think more like Jesus, operate more like Jesus, and then the Spirit will be able to flow out mm-hmm. into the world with conviction. And let me say this, you know, I think some people that I've heard at Fellowship, sometimes they say, hey, we love this Third Way thing, but sometimes I wonder, is it just another way to sort of be a little, have soft edges? And I'd say, no, not if you really understand what we're talking about. What we're actually talking about is the life of Jesus being reproduced in us, the one who is light, the one who is love, the one who is truth. And Jesus, when he lived, oh my goodness, he lived with conviction.
Mm.
But it was always for the sake of the world, for the sake of the sinners of the world, that Jesus gave his life away. And I want that conviction, Lord, just to build and grow in us, but may it be a Jesus-shaped conviction that mm-hmm. we are known for.
Yeah. Just a reminder, because we see it in Romans 8 as we're reading and rereading and rereading it. This is a work of the Spirit in us. And so when you think about it, and if you're asking yourself right now, okay, Lloyd and Rob, what are you saying here? What do I need to do? I would at least start here. I would begin with a conversation with the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And people often say, can I pray to the Holy Spirit? Yes, yes, and yes. So a conversation with the Spirit of God to reveal in my own heart where I'm missing it. What's the source of my groaning? I'm mad. I'm upset. And that's we should be angry at injustices and wrongs. But that's where we want to encourage you. Let that prayer be focused on your own heart. Lord, it's the psalmist crying out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and then lead me in the everlasting way. I think that's a great place to begin. And I tell you, if you begin there, Rob, and we're talking about this out of Romans 8, if you begin there with the Spirit, I don't know what the next thing is, but the Spirit of God does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's most exciting and fascinating about this passage is it's not just creation that groans and us who groan. The Spirit also groans.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about that in a minute, huh?
In the next episode of the Third Way podcast, we'll talk about what does it mean for the Spirit himself to groan? Mm-hmm. But I do want to, before we get there, and we will talk more about that in a future episode, but I just want to touch on one more part of this text that I think is so interesting and honestly gave me a lot of hope. You touched on this in your message, Lloyd. It comes in verse 23. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That idea of the redemption of our bodies has taken on a new significance for me when I think about the flesh. Yeah. And Paul's been talking about the flesh, you know, all through, especially Romans chapter 7, but even before that. And so you get to Romans 8 and you get this message of hope that our bodies are going to be redeemed. And part of that means our flesh. There's a connection between these physical bodies, you know, that are aging, that are decaying, that are literally falling apart, and our sinful tendencies, our sinful selves. And scripture is not 100% clear what that connection is, but there is something of this, Lloyd. We're going to struggle with sin, you and I, as long as we're in these bodies. But these bodies are going to be redeemed.
Yes.
And that is what we are waiting for.
There's a lot of hope in that, isn't there?
So much hope.
And to think that, and to be reminded, I should say, that our bodies really do matter. You know, it is an errant doctrine to dismiss our material bodies. And according to Romans 8, the material world. It's gonna be touchy feely, man. I mean, it's gonna be concrete stuff.
Yes.
That everything we see right now is really just, it's beautiful, but it's not capital B.
So can you imagine what the creation will be like when it's set free from the corruption that Paul is talking about in this text? It lights my imagination up, Lloyd, just to think about that. I mean, just the idea that the most beautiful things you and I have ever seen on this world, they're in a sense corrupted shadows of what we will see and experience and honestly be stewards over under the leadership of Jesus on the new earth.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Well, in that vein, let me give another application. Those, I'm talking to the choir on this one, but the choir, for some people, for others, it's not so much your cup of tea. I mentioned it Sunday, but how about rereading the Chronicles of Narnia to refresh your memory and to stir that wind within you to see creation not as, you know, inanimate objects, but there's something there. If creation's groaning, there's something more. And I really don't know of a better place to go than those books. And be reminded, man.
It's funny you bring that up because on my sabbatical, which was, I guess, now about a year and a half ago, I didn't reread them, but I listened to them. Mm. There's an Audible version that's so well done. Each book has a different, wonderfully, beautifully sounding British reader that reads these books, and they just came alive to me again. So I agree. I second that application. Whether you're listening to them, whether you're rereading them, it stirs you. And I think it stirs you in the way of the Spirit.
Thanks for listening to The Third Way. For more information about the cultural paradigm and to download additional resources to help you engage culture, visit fellowshipbiblechurch.org/third way. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you'll know every time we release a new episode. Remember, we are a people of the third way. Let's walk in the light, love without fear, and hold fast to the truth. For he who calls us is faithful.